As most of you know, or maybe all of you know, there's two things that we as a group have never had to face as yet. One is death of a member, and the other is divorce. And those are the two things that are not too swift from any of our understandings. In the Hallel, there's a song that says that, I mean, the line from one of the Hallel, one of the Psalms, is that John's Targum of it was that the death of a saint in the eyes of a Lord is a treasure so great that none can afford. And the Talmud says, could you suck on your ice?
Is it that loud?
Yeah, really.
Sorry.
Usually it's only when I'm trying to make noise.
The Talmud says an interesting thing. It says that at the time of a divorce, even the altar weeps. Which is a pretty awesome kind of thing. For us, for me, I can only talk about to me, because we've never had to deal with this before, and I've had to struggle and do all kinds of things. I feel, and I felt, and will continue to feel, that everything possible must be done to avoid divorce. It's the, from our standpoint, in what we believe, i.e. that the body is the bride of Christ, it's one of the worst blows to revelation that can be done. As you notice, I don't have a Bible, because I don't feel like using weapons against anybody, or I'm not going to try to justify, or I'm just going to speak from what I feel and have experienced. For those of you who are strangers, there's a couple in here that's been married for 8 years that are at a point of divorce. And I have done everything in my power to... Surprising how little power I have. I mean, it really is. But I've done everything in my power to try to make sure that the parties involved had so totally searched themselves and opportunities to be alone and under no false covering and all of that kind of, all of the right spiritual things, so that there would be a time to ensure that there was no possible or no possibility of the marriage being saved. Well, we've reached that point. Now the question is, what's the response? I've told you 100 times that we as a body can never sanction divorce. We can never approve divorce, but neither can we approve murder. Neither can we sanction hiding. Neither can we sanction lying. But what happens if two vessels come to a point where one or more of those vessels says, I cannot remain in the state of marriage, and I see no possibility of it being resolved? Well, today I met with Doug and Denise. And by whatever discernment God has given me, looking at them as a couple, I don't believe there's a possibility that the marriage can be resurrected, saved, whatever. So now what happens? Now we have to face some things. We as a group of people, we have to face some things and deal with things, and upsets our apple cart, and upsets everything. But the one thing that I'm more sure of than I've ever been sure of anything in my entire existence, is that the parties involved, all concerned, must now be loved and accepted without condition. That there can be no more little, well, you should have done this stuff. That there can be no more, well, if you'd only done this, then this would have happened. Or this is what you should do. Or this is what you shouldn't do. By anyone. Not the parties involved, not Doug, not Denise, not anyone. And that they must be accepted with unconditional love, without condition. Am I communicating? In Doug's case, he must mourn for the marriage and forget it. It's dead. He can no longer live in the illusion that it can be put back together. You can no longer respond to hopes or shoulds or ought tos. You must respond to life. What about the children? Obviously, I don't have any authority in this, so I'm just mounting. But I can only tell you what I hope. The children have to remain with their mother, in that the mother is the most important part of a child's being. Doug and I have talked, and hopefully if the rest of the body is in agreement, that you'll continue to live on Columbia with the children, if you so choose. I mean, this is all up to you. I'm just saying what options. And what I left it with Doug with, and I don't know whether he was able to do anything about it, was that for the temporary being, that the Beast House would have another member. Did you resolve that, or? Okay. I.e., at least on a temporary basis, a pad be, like, you know, the same thing. Where's Pete? Here. Oh, that a pad be put down in the, yeah, like you did for Tony and stuff? What?
Beast House.
What's a good name for it?
Rex. Rex and Rick.
Well, they got their own Beast House. But, what?
I'm asking to make a note of that comment.
The other thing is with regard, and this is the biggie, this is a weird one. This is even weirder than anything we've ever said in terms of thus far tonight. I'm sure I've said weirder stuff than this. A divorce does not annul, from everything I've been able to discern and see in the scriptures, or at least at this time, I can't tell you what I may see tomorrow. A divorce does not annul teachers or teaching. I mean, it says, you know, I can give you all the right little fundamentalist versions. It says you must be a husband of one wife. But at least for the time being, I would like Doug and Denise to still try to conduct a Bible study as a co-teachers, or whatever you want to call it. Nothing in the flesh can ever be perfected. If we try to keep one point in the law, we are subject to the whole law. I did everything in my power to try to stop this. But once that I am convinced that it's not possible to stop it, that's why I get paid the big bucks. I don't think the marriage has a possibility. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Now it's time to move on. Now let's stop here a minute and see if anybody has any. This will affect you all. Does anybody have anything to say? I can't contain. You either accept all the law or none of it and live by grace. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means he let her go to come to the end of herself without placing laws and rules and regulations and rules of behavior on her at the risk of your own balls. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. You must see, you have never seen God. What you as wives know, all you can know of God is your husband. Good, bad, or indifferent. If you can't see him in the marriage, that's why we have a body, that's why you have a covering. You go to that covering and wait on God, explore, open it up until the pain and the rejection and the acting and the phoniness is gone forever. And you endure until wives can see their husbands as the Lord himself. And husbands can let their wives go in full confidence, not trying to pattern or rule their behavior by their own ridiculous idolatry and liturgies. Oh, you should do this. Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's not what Christ does. That's not what Christ did. If he did it with any of us, we'd be dead meat. I don't want Tyra if she wants somebody else. If she wants somebody else, she can go out and try it out. If I have to place my insecurities on her, then we shouldn't be married. We are here. We were alive for a singular purpose, and it's to be conformed into the image of Christ. The scriptures say that those that are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom neither marry nor are given in marriage. That means that something else is going on other than what you can see after the flesh. And what's going on is that the best you can be is a friend of the bridegroom. And out of this motley crew and others like it, in all of time, God is pulling out a bride for him. If a marriage can show forth the mystery, a divorce can show forth not the mystery. Why the covering? Why the acting? Why the hypocrisy? It has to be banned forever. And the danger in you of not prophesying, not saying what's there, the danger of believing you're your own and responsible for your own self. You know, the altar is weeping. I'm convinced of it. I'm weeping inside. But now let's mourn. Let the weeping be finished. And let's go on. Let's know no man after the flesh. sentence. No more judgments. Never again. No more of your little religious bullshit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Is there anybody that can't say amen? Speak now or forever hold your peace. What's going to happen next? How's this going to work?
I don't know.
But he knows.
It's no big comfort.
It should be the only comfort. Anybody have anything? How many of you would have liked to have me give some law secretly?
Like what?
I'm trying to open my journal.
No, the law is that you want to, okay.
I mean, it's like it seems like all the law that could have been given has already been given and it hasn't worked.
No, I know, but still, there's several that want to say, okay. If you get a divorce, you're out of here forever. And it's interesting, the ones that really want to say that are the ones that are living in the most fear right now. Because the law, or that illusion of the law, has offered them a false security.
Yeah.
If we try to keep one point of the law and yet offend in it or in any other, we're guilty of it all.
Amen.
So stop putting law on each other. If there is nothing, if there's anything that will force you out of liturgy into spontaneity, it has to be this. There is nothing so boring to God as liturgy. Liturgy is, the problem with liturgy is it's like a caricature of law. And it becomes a pattern that is so far from truth and so far from life that pretty soon it probably even bores you. Where's the grand be careful for nothing? Spontaneity. Life. Knowing you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Rather than this internalizing of all stimulus, searching like you're going through a computer bank, searching for the proper response to a particular stimulus, whether it's in relationships with people or in marriages or here, your relationships with me, I'm so sick of it. Or your relationships with people in the world, every time there's a stimulus, your mind goes like it's on a little stupid computer. It runs up and down the card files, finding out what's the proper response to the stimulus. There is no proper response, save what? Wham! If there is no response, don't respond. If the response is to sit there like a bump in a log, sit there bumping a log. Don't work it up. It's spiritual pornography. You understand me? When you have to search for a response to a stimulus, you might as well go see an X-rated movie. Or whatever else it is that's your liturgy to get turned on. God, if we're going to enter this promise, God demands, once you cross that border, that there become a point of joyful and outlandish spontaneity.
Probably never again will he ever respond to the same stimulus the same way twice. Be careful for nothing. I'm so sick and tired of you taking yourself so seriously. And if this doesn't drive you to see the dangers of liturgy and your own caricatures of patterns of law and behavior, nothing will. Abandon yourself. That means don't think about it at all. Pick up your cross. That means it's he that's living in you, no longer you. And follow him. That's the total result of those first two aspects. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if rightness comes by the law, or by the way a thing works, or by liturgy, or by pattern, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Let this thing which Satan meant for evil be turned to good. Let it be an instrument by which each one of you are more closely conformed to the image of Christ. Let it be a stimulus to cause you to live only in a state of joyful abandonment to the Holy Spirit. And let it be a case for you and what the way in which you can show love unconditional to all parties concerned. Amen?
Okay.
Altar's still weeping, but he'll get over it. I love all of you. Now let's let love flow. Now be as ready to say I love you to someone as you are. You really piss me off. This group's got it really. This is a really weird group of people. You got to buy that. Please see. But there's no other alternative but love. Not as because love or if love. No more cavilings about no more. Paul said that if you eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, it's a lot of religious stuff, but fundamentally he said you're in deep shit. To drink it unworthily means that you don't discern the Lord's body. And for us now it means that you don't discern the Lord's body every second. You think you have a private thought that you have to mull over and think about, discern about. Balance, play sorcery with. It's time to explode. It's time to live the covenant in thought, in word, in deed, and emotions. You are not your own, no part of you is, and anything you have is only one function, and that's to be given out, no matter what it looks like. Can anybody take the breath? No matter what your state of being, this bread and this wine is a sign of the covenant. The eternal covenant, it's called. Let's begin to live it. The same night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he blessed it and said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth." And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body. By these stripes you are healed. Now look on him who you have pierced." Begin to see him as all and in all. No more religion. God hates religion. There's nowhere that he's forsaken you, so therefore let everything out. And he took the cup. You don't ever again. If he took away the sin of the whole world, that includes you.
Even me?
No, maybe not. No, even you. See, the only reason that you develop liturgies of behavior, whether it's in marriage or in relationships or in here or at your job, is because you don't believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
Resurrection power is spontaneity at every minute without apology, commending yourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. No more concern about whether it's worthy or sounds right.
Amen.
My God, if I ever thought about that, I'd never say anything. This is worth his blood. No more yours. It's finished. He took the cup and gave thanks, saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Though it's been once flawed herein in the flesh, it's still eternal." Hallelujah. To life. How did Dale get the biggest one in the history of the known universe?
Follow my impulse.
Was it Brian? That's
the one I requested.
Did you
catch that capital?
Can everybody go home in peace?
God smile.
Can everybody know what mercy is? And take a big guy.